Good morning. So now we have 45 minutes together for this seminar. And I'm really pleased to welcome and introduce Lawrence Banks. So just a note about his background, Lawrence has worked for GoSign for about 10 years. I've also worked in design, qualified teacher of deaf children, so a variety of backgrounds, and has been part-time director of GoSign, which has included him helping and supporting guest groups all over the place. So we're really pleased to welcome Lawrence here today. Wow, great to see so many people. We could just open it up and push through to the other group, who cares? I thought it would be just a few people, but it seems very popular. But it's a real privilege to be here. I think this is a really important event for all of us, and it's good that we're here to share together as Christians, to look at the theology and look at how that impacts on our practice with disability, and to see how that practice can improve, and to think about together what that aim is. I feel it's really prophetic that God is saying, come on, sort yourself out as the church over this whole subject, this whole area. So the theme of this, deaf made in God's image, deaf people are in God's image, and it's against the tyranny of the normality. And as I was putting together this PowerPoint, I really felt that this subject was important to us. And I put the PowerPoint together and I used the colour theme because I thought it really reflected what it's about. God is light, and he calls us, he is light in that darkness. So I've chosen colours that kind of reflect that, really. And I realised that, this is pretty prophetic, isn't it? There's the light shining in the darkness. So when we look at each other, we don't say, oh, hearing people have God's presence in them, they are the light, and deaf people don't. We don't say that. We say that all people have God's presence in them, and they're made in God's image. So if we think about this subpoint here, we need to think about what do we mean by normality? And that's what I want to talk about today. How that, maybe the tyranny of normality can threaten us. Okay, I'm going to have to go quite quickly through these, and I don't want you to kind of be panting catching up, but I have got some notes. Obviously I gave them to the interpreters. And I don't expect you all to agree with everything I say. I'm just really giving you something to stir up your brains and to start the debate. I'm not 100% right necessarily, and you might disagree, you might have a different perspective from mine, and praise the Lord for that, that's fine. Let's carry on the conversation. So I think these four areas are the important areas that I want us to think about today. I want to think about the deaf experience, the experience of deaf people. We see that the experience of deaf people has sometimes been one of oppression and one of being thought less. But we want to see how we can encourage deaf people to realise their worth and to stand up and be counted. Okay, so when I travel around churches, when I see churches, we see that the death experience really isn't something that is talked about very much. A lot of churches don't realise that the social experience of deaf people is more than just the fact they can't hear. It's not about all deaf people just being the same. So there's a little kind of figure here that just shows that the different social models. So you can see that some people live in a kind of a hearing community and some people live in a fine deaf community, or maybe some people live in a hearing loss community, or people who were born hearing and then became deaf. You can see that people live in different worlds and they have different experiences. There was one guy called Doug Alka and another academic called Paddy Ladd, and they were both really concerned over this kind of homogeneity of deafness. Just treat them all the same. They're all just people with hearing loss. And they're all disabled. And that's often the view of the world. And that view really, really has a negative effect. So if the church is keen to welcome deaf people into its midst, then they need to understand that deaf people are represented by a diversity of experience. Some people consider themselves to be hard of hearing or profoundly deaf or sign language or whatever. So some people would say, well, I don't want to go to that church, that hearing church, because it doesn't fit my experience. And some people would say, well, there ought to be just a church for deaf people. And that's better than this. So you can see there's a diversity of views going on here. So if we think about deaf people's experience of society, a lot of the policies and the political viewpoints really attempt to make everybody the same. So you can see that often the majority culture wins, and so churches and buildings, they're suitable mostly for hearing people. But deaf people out there every day in society don't necessarily have an easy job of accessing those places that are really designed for hearing people. And the deaf experience of society. Of course, there are some positive experiences, and over the last 20 or 30 years, things have really improved, thank God for that. But sometimes they are still quite a negative experience, a lesser experience. This is a book you really need to read. It's very heavy, it's very thick, it's very in-depth study of deaf culture by Paddy Ladd. And he's researched into the history of the deaf experience, and he realises that an oralist philosophy exists that tries to change deaf people into kind of pseudo-hearing people. It's a very good book, it is quite heavy, but if you are really interested in learning more about how to involve deaf people into your church, include deaf people in church, then I do recommend this book. It is really, really good. So there's deaf people in society, but what about deaf people in our churches? You know, churches often are set up as suitable for normal, hearing people. The programs, the meetings, the services, everything is designed for hearing people. And sometimes you get interpreters in church, and that's fine. I've got nothing against interpreters, but it makes deaf people rather passive because they're not involved in the actual worship. They're just watching the interpreter. Integration, the idea of integration, means I may join the church, but I've got to actually change. I've got to become different, because if church is for all people, it should be possible for a whole diversity of people to access the church service. And so when you think about integration, what that often means is it's not possible to access it if you're different. It just means you have to change to be able to access. The community norm is programmed by hearing people. And we need to challenge that. Okay, there is an important question here. Why is it important to understand that deaf people are made in God's image? It's really important that a deaf person has the image of God. If we don't understand that, then this is what it leads to: suffering, inferiority, no hope for the deaf people. If we turn away from deaf people and say, well, they're not really made in God's image, then that's what it leads to. Recently I was talking to somebody, a lovely person, who was at Bible College, and they said something that really hit me. So, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus died. And I really want to go to church, but when I arrive, I just have an interpreter, that interpreter might be okay, but it might not be. The communication isn't there. And I feel... it feels like every day of my life I have to struggle. Monday to Saturday I have to struggle. It would be really nice if on the Sabbath I could have easier communication. But actually... I don't when I go to church, and I understand that. It's really hard to encourage by saying, oh, there are interpreters, but even so, it doesn't quite do it. And I feel that if we actually fail to get this message across, we come into conflict with the gospel. There's people who see Jesus, who want to respond to what he has done, who realise that he's saved them, and then feel, now I have to go to church. And then it all just collapses, because their experience of church isn't a good one. And that conflicts with the gospel, because it means that their experience of the gospel may not be good. But the gospel is good for deaf people. Yes?
Amen.
Do you agree with that? The gospel is right for deaf people. So how could this be? How can we have this conflict? We've got mixed messages here. We've got conflicting messages. The man earlier, Roy, explained about God's image. And I want to repeat that. But I want to add to it and see it from the deaf context. Okay, this is a well-known verse in Matthew's Gospel. Be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And lots of people see that verse and they say, what do you mean by perfect? Does that mean like physically perfect? Or how can I possibly be perfect? So we need to take care over our theological understanding and the context of this verse. How you communicate Christ to people, how we support deaf people's spiritual development, and how we encourage them to grow spiritually is really important. We have Western culture views. We all know Western culture views very strongly about physical prowess. These pictures that you can see here, this gorgeously muscled man, this beautiful bosomed woman, intellectual ability, social success. That's Western cultural notions. These other issues, thinking about the church. We talked about homogenization theology, hearing theology as being the norm. We must all be the same. We are all one body in Christ. But what does that really mean? I mean, how do we integrate difference into the body of Christ? I have arguments with God about this and say, I'm with a hearing church, so am I acceptable within this church? I don't know that I am, not that I'm not acceptable, but that it's working for me as well as it might work for the hearing people. For example, when I go abroad, let's say, for example, when missionaries go abroad and they are teaching Christ and they are talking about the English way, the English church, they are denying anything to do with that culture wherever they've gone to. They build their own buildings. They teach the way that they should be taught, so they're saying to you, your culture, no, let's go to the English culture. Your beliefs, no, let's go to the English beliefs. You know, it becomes like a puppet society that we're creating. I don't think that's what Christ wanted, was for them to become puppets. It's really accepting diversity, the richness of the human being, the humanness of each other. And that includes different cultures, different languages, different ways of worshipping as well. Hannah Lewis is a professor of theology, and she has challenged very much the pressure within the church, specifically with deaf people. There are some fundamental Christians who say, oh, you're deaf, oh, you're falling short of the glory of God. We need to heal this. So we heal these people, make them pure, make them right for God. That's a very, I think, a very flawed theology. That salvation can't be yours until you're healed, is what some people have said. St. Augustine, is another person. This was his view very, very, very many years ago, hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And again, this Hannah has done all this research to really look back and to challenge these ideas, challenge these historical traditionalist views of the church, to say that, well, why not actually embrace diversity? Why does it have to be that we are less than able-bodied people? Because the Bible says so, some people have said, but I don't think so. Hannah is challenging all of these views, these very traditional historical views. And I think we also need to develop this sort of theology, is to think, what is God actually saying to us as a church? If I'm disabled, am I less than you if you are able? What is God's plan for us? I think it's important for us as a church, as a body, as we've said, to move together on this. So as I say, there's this constant argument about the creation story. Let's go to the creation story about made in God's image. So we're thinking again about God made Adam and Eve in God's image, as we know. And is that a physical thing, just a physical thing? Or what are there other issues involved? I don't think that the physicalness is the important part. I think it involves everything to do with what it is to be uniquely human. And what is that? That's what we need to research. This is where the context lies. So we thought about the rational views, trying to work it out cognitively.
and with so the image of God is our relationship with God, and our image of God is our creation to rule the world. And the other is, of course, to be rational, as I've said before. This is another really fabulous book that I would recommend to you. Now, not a lot of people would agree with this, some of the theology in here, but I think that if you sat down and thought about some of the things in here, it's very thought-provoking arguments. When Jesus died, he was disfigured. He had nails in his hands and his feet. So does that he's still in the image of God, as he is the Son of God. So when he rose again, do you remember he obviously had, people weren't sure that it was him. And he went to them and he said, look, if you're not sure it's me, touch these wounds in my hands and in my side. And doubting Thomas said, my Lord, you are my body, your body has been broken for me. Christ's body was broken for us. God was brought down, the Son of God, to become less than God, to become human. And that's the important point. We all need to embrace this, to think about this. The basic tenet is that disability is not any less than ability, because Christ became disabled and broken for us. So he didn't become less, he became more. But very often the view is that if you're disabled, you're less. So if you're deaf, then, we don't think you should be, you're standing with God. We don't think that actually Christ became disabled. He became one of us in our frailty, in our human weakness. Christ was glorified. God was glorified. And I'm proud to be deaf. I am proud of my language. I am proud of my culture. I am proud of my Christianity. And I know God loves me as much as he loves everybody else. I am equal to you, you are equal to me. I have respect for hearing, I have respect for deaf. God loves us all the same. But there is still this view that some people are less, and that's not right. I think we need to realise that we are all listening today. I would love us all to rise up and say, this is not right, this needs to be challenged. Now, there are lots of examples through the scriptures of different people who are actually physically disabled. There's a list of them just here. But they all, as I say, carry the image of God perfectly. So let's summarise the important points of this. If I'm deaf, am I less than you? No. No. Not at all. The basic tenet is if we start with the basic tenet that we are all equal before God, we are all made in his image. Wayne Morris is a theologian. If you believe that God created us, then how can you have made, God created sign language? Absolutely. I'm deaf. I commune with my God. Perhaps God is deaf. Have you ever thought about that? God lives in me. He is me. He is in me. Jesus is in me. The Holy Spirit is in me. Some people I know would like to think that they would like to become hearing who are deaf. But what if God is deaf? Some people think that God, of course, knows all languages. I mean, he knows all languages, he knows all of our hearts, he knows all of the languages, he knows the world, he knows all the people in the world. It's a very, very positive thing, sign language. Spoken language, it's a very positive thing, it all comes from God. So this is the basic tenet we must remember. We are all equal before God. None is less, none is more. Equal, whole and complete in his image. Can everybody read that? The most stringent power we have over another is not our physical coercion, but the ability to have another position of them. We're looking at what is morality. If you're blind, do we label this person as not normal? If you're deaf, do you label them as not normal? A guy called Stanley Hauerwas. He's a theorist of behaviour. He disagrees that you should label anyone. You are deaf, you are blind, let's put you on a certain level, let's see if we can get you up to this level, which is us, because you're not normal. Well, that doesn't seem right, he argues. But what we do need, apart from this, this is what we call the common norm, we need a form of community where we would embrace and respect difference and diversity. Now, I think that's a really interesting argument, and this is an argument that's raged for years. It's still raging now, where some people are thinking that, you know, you need to come up to our level. You need to come on. We'll normalise you. We'll sort you out. We'll get you more like us, so that you can become more acceptable. Hauerwas says no. This is not how the society should be. As a community, that people are different. We should aim to look like Christ, to be like Christ, to be God-like. I've seen friends from Yorkshire who sign and speak differently to me because they have a different regional sign language to mine. I've been to Bolivia abroad, and again, they have a different sign language there. So it's welcome to communicate with them, it's communicating with each other, it's accepting the form of community, the gift of differences. Now, some people aim for the medical model. The medical model is a well-known theory that basically is to repair people to make them well. So it's science, it's medical, it's doctors, it's research, trying to, particularly with deaf people, make them hearing. A person called Pam Knight explains the medical approach. It is basically to get to the root of people who are disadvantaged. The only way that you can make them advantaged is to cure them, is to rectify their disability. And then he goes on to explain how, through the Roy goes on to explain how we should do this, how we should respond to this. Lots of deaf people feel very oppressed by this medical view. You need a hearing aid, you need, here we are, a cochlear implant. You need speech therapy to learn how to pronounce your words. Lots and lots and lots of conflict. There's lots of things that are related to deaf which, frankly, I don't feel disabled as a person. I don't feel that I'm disabled. I know that some people who are deaf want the cochlear implant, they want hearing aid, that's fine. But it's really, it's trying to compare it with the gospel, trying to compare it with the Bible, in God's image. So do we reject this child, because he was photographed, because he, she is deaf, that we make them hearing, because they're not acceptable, we're trying to make them normal. So therefore, should we say all hearing aids should be rejected? I mean, clearly you can't say that either. Now I'm going to look at the other theoretical model, the social model. All should be equal. We don't reject anyone. This is the social model. Everyone should have participation in society. All should be able to integrate. I think most deaf people would agree with this. Most people would go with this, that society and deaf can work together, but they have to work together. But nothing's that simple, is it? Because here we have this great picture of the fisticuffs. They, nevertheless, the social model and the medical model, they clash. There's a constant argument going on. There's no middle ground at all. At all. And some people are just sitting by and thinking, okay, what if I don't quite agree with that? I don't quite agree with that. How do I find this middle ground? Where Where does the church stand on this? They've both, the medical model is fighting for normality, so everybody is the same, to fix people, to make them better, to make them normal. The social model is not fighting against people, but it's actually saying you need to all be equal with each other, so it's trying to bring you up to become normal with us. So it's still this homogenization in a way of trying to make everybody the same. So in a way, they're both flawed. They both are trying to bring disabled people up and deaf people to a place that's normal with them, with each other. And frankly, it still doesn't work. There's still a massive divide, a massive chasm of normality still seems to be the aim. And if I speak well, I'm better than you, as if I have the Queen's English. Perhaps I speak better than you up north, who might speak with difference. So what is normality? It's really trying to bridge this gap, trying to work out. I don't think you can have normality, why not have... What does the Gospel say? I think we are all made in God's image. So. This is a really good example. A really good example. Two birds. I want to show you this is a great example. You have two birds here, clearly. So they're both normal, they're both birds. Right, they're both really birds. So which do you think is the normal one? You reckon that one on the left is normal, do you?
Yeah, it's got wings.
Possibly it can fly.
And it can swoop, can eat on the wing.
But it can't run fast, you know? That bird cannot run quickly. This one, fantastic! It runs really fast! Hey, how about that? So, if we say the one on the left is the perfect bird, then the other one is deficient in some way. But actually, they're both birds. So just consider that carefully. Think about it. Everybody has different gifts. That's why God created people. We are all well, the whole of creation is diverse, and that's a gift from God. If you look at creation, you look at nature, you see the different wonderful shapes of trees and flowers and animals and insects. They show God's amazing diversity. And if we try to change everything to be the same, I think you'd end up quite depressed, really. So, can we find a third way, not the medical, not the social, but a different way of being, a different paradigm, so that we can actually make sense of all this? So, if I can't speak well, am I still in the image of God, when God is one who speaks? I remember going to Africa back in July, and I was so impressed with one deaf guy who stood up and spoke to the crowd. Huge crowd. And he was worshipping in sign language. And we're deaf drummers. And all these people worshipping together. It was just magnificent. And you could feel the Spirit of God moving on that crowd. It was incredible. So, well, who am I to say that hearing people can do it and deaf people can? God approves of both. God blesses both. Amen? I have to emphasize this again and again. It's really important.
We need to encourage the spiritual development, the spiritual gifts of deaf people. We have to have the patience and courage to challenge. And it's clear that inclusion means diversity. Integration is about us changing to become like the majority culture. If I want to join the majority culture, I have to change. But inclusion is about us being in the same community and being accepted for all of our differences and diversity. And that's a challenging thing, and we need to keep challenging it. Is clear about that? Is that okay? Okay, I want to get to the most important thing. Now, does this first paradigm, this image of God model, does that replace the medical model and the social model? Can we throw the medical model and the social model out of the window and we'll just replace it with this image of God model? Or can it act like a kind of a referee between the two models? So we have those models that are prevalent in society. Can this image of God work on us to be a kind of referee? Because the medical intervention can bring freedom for a lot of deaf people as they develop better and better hearing aids, so deaf people are able to access oral society. Not in the way that history shows, where history said you must have an oral education, you must ban sign language and all that kind of stuff, but with the development of bilingual education and valuing sign language, you can see that hearing aids and the practice of speech, they have their place, all under this lovely bilingual umbrella. Before, remember, back in history, you may know this, that oralism was king and controlled all the education. But now, if we can bring everything together under this third paradigm, this image of God model, I just think this could be really helpful. We are Jesus. Right? His kingdom has come. Yes? It's not yet completely come. We're still waiting for the realization and the fulfillment of the kingdom, but his kingdom is here. And on that, it's a now and not yet thing, remember? Yeah? So it is there. We don't have the fullness of Christ yet. We don't have the fullness of the kingdom. Because while we live on earth, we're going to face difficulties. And we're going to see situations that need challenging and need us to bring that image of God view. And we're going to see that the opposite of the model that says deaf people must become like hearing people, we see people going, no, deaf people are fine as they are, tra-la-la, we don't need hearing people, get rid of hearing people. Somehow we need to be the referee between these two paradigms so that we can bring into the kingdom culture into this situation. We are living in today's world. One day we'll live in a world that is total kingdom world, and we have to bring glimpses of that world into today. And that's how this model could work. So for me personally, I don't think it will replace the models we have, but I think it could act as a kind of a control or a kind of referee and be there ready to affirm when it's right and challenge when it's not. Yeah? What do you think? I just offer that for reflection, really. Just throw it out for you to think about and whether that might be a possibility. I know lots of people really go for the social model and think that's the way to be, but you know, it has underlying issues because it still says there is something about society that isn't normal. There's something about you that isn't normal, and something has to change to enable you to be normal. But the image of God model says God will bless you exactly as you are, as you are. There's a lovely story about Moses. When God told Moses, I want you to go and talk to the king and bring the people out of Egypt, what did Moses say? Oh, I'm not a very good speaker. I can't do it. And what did God say? Who was it who made the deaf and the blind? I, the Lord, made them. And Moses replied, I really, really want you to hear this. Moses replied, please send someone else. And what did God respond to that? He got quite angry. He was angry. Why do you think he was angry? Because Moses thought God could only use normal speaking people. I believe that's what made God angry. So when God said to me, you need to go and preach, I went, I've got a facial deformity, so people look at me and they go, and God said, go and preach, go and get my message. I had to obey him. I recognised his call on my life and had to obey it. So just think about that. We have to stop, don't we? Oh, bother. Just to summarise. So just think about whether your view of your Christian theology, what's it actually aiming for? Is it aiming to recognise the diversity and to encourage that and just value it? Or is it aiming to normalise everybody? This is Tom Flail's book, Windows on the Cross. And he says, I love this. Jesus never said, today, do you remember Jesus on the cross with the thieves on either side? He never said to that thief, today I'm with you on Calvary. He never said that. It's not what he said. But he said, today you will be with me in paradise. So, yes, we need to think about how we can identify with deaf people and their suffering, and how churches can understand the deaf people's suffering, but also how they can move on from that. So, Christ, with the thief on Calvary, yes, he was there. And that, it's good to know that Christ identifies with the suffering. And then he says, and today you will be with me in paradise. So he gives to that dying thief the hope that he needs. My life isn't just going to be snuffed out. It's not coming to an end to be snuffed out. We have that hope. And that's the reflection of the gospel. Just one more minute. Just give you something to think about. I know that theologians have argued over what different parts of their Bible mean and how they all fit together. And some people will go into great detail over the story of creation, the fall. And it's really important for us to think through those stories and think through the biblical narrative and just see how we can bring those thoughts to bear on our society and to wrestle really with all the issues. Just whizzing through the last slide. Just read Hannah Lewis cautions, the practical way of understanding and presenting our faith will be different from context to context. If we say that theology is the same for all people, we will oppress some people. Wayne Morris talks about the fact that the Bible can be good news for deaf people, but in some places it seems to treat deaf people rather negatively. For example, when he says to somebody, oh, you can see my body pass by, but you can't see me face to face, that doesn't seem very fair on deaf people, does it? So we just need to think through and how we interpret those scriptures and how we look at the context to make the gospel good news. We can't ignore those scriptures, but we do need to think them through. Okay, I'm sorry, time has gone. But we do just need to summarise and say, deaf people are made in God's image. And we can stand with His power. And if anything tries to diminish us, to diminish the body of Christ, we have the prophetic ability to stand, because God made us in His image. Amen.